motorways are becoming smarter to help traffic flow smoother. For instance, when you're driving in a motorway lane, there's normally another lane alongside, and one alongside that. And now there's another lane too. On certain stretches of motorway, signs will show when you can use the hard shoulder as an extra lane. And by using the hard shoulder when it's open, we'll all be doing our bit to keep the traffic flowing. Highways England, making motorways smarter. For more information, search for Smart Motorways online.
Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast. This is episode 26, 2016 predictions, recorded on March 31st, 2016. Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast with your hosts, me, Matt Lyons, and Jason Newcart. Jason, how are you?
I'm good. This is our last podcast before actual baseball games. I'm excited for Sunday, even though the Indians don't play. I'm happy to watch any two teams play an actual major league game. So we can just about count down the hours at this point.
It's really close. I mean, hopefully the Indians will actually be able to play on their opening day. Right now, the weather doesn't look fantastic, but we'll be able to watch something at least in the next few days. And hopefully one of them will be the Indians on Monday.
Yeah, I've seen reports that there's like a polar vortex moving south from Canada that's going to mess up a lot of opening days. At least in Chicago, we had a really easy winter. I hope we don't get paid back with an annoyingly cold and blustery spring.
Well, I think the Cleveland area had it pretty bad. I know where I grew up was a couple hours away. They had a really terrible winter, but
yeah, oh, really? Here in New York, man, Chicago was a piece of cake.
Yeah, so it was for us over here in New York. It just in the middle kind of got crushed there, I think. So have you had a chance to watch many spring training games?
No, I have not. I would like to say I have. I've checked in on a lot of games, but I've watched very little, partially because after the first few days, there's not as much to watch. I'll throw on the MLB Network and watch a few innings here or there. I've watched very little by streaming and have not gotten my MLB TV yet going. So part of me, after the first few days, likes to wait just because then when opening day rolls around, it's even more exciting because I've watched so little baseball.
You know, I think I said on Twitter a while ago that usually by this point, although at that point that was like a weekend, is when if I'm playing like MLB The Show or something, I usually just simulate past spring training at that point. It's just fun for the first week to see some weird players, but after that, we're ready to get the opening day.
Yes, I think it was Jordan Bastian tweeted out a picture of a game from yesterday a couple days ago, and there's a guy in first base, and the runner and the first baseman were both wearing number 99, which that's a pretty spring training moment.
Speaking of numbers, we even had this on the list, but Tyler Naquin's going to wear number 30, which, I mean, that's exciting.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, it's exciting that he's going to be wearing any number. We've talked about him a lot lately, from the speculation of could he possibly make the roster, and the Indians haven't had a rookie, and we don't know for sure if he'll start yet on opening day. Some people think with David Price on the mound that Naquin won't start. I kind of feel like you ought to start your normal lineup on opening day no matter who the pitcher is, just because I feel like, I don't know, it's like you should send the message, this is our team, this is our main lineup, and not worry about platoon splits on opening day. But if he does start on opening day, it's going to be the Indians' first opening day rookie in like 30, 31 years, something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. And I mean, if you want to talk about the mental part of it a little bit, telling a rookie he's going to be an opening day starter, I'm sure that must do a little bit of something at least, instead of saying we're going to platoon you off the first day instead.
Right.
So, getting right into it, some of the biggest news this week was the fact that Trevor Bauer is not going to be in the rotation this year. A couple days ago, Chris Antonetti and Terry Francona had a press conference, and they announced that it's going to be Corey Kluber, Carlos Carrasco, and Danny Salazar, obviously, and then Josh Tomlin and Cody Anderson. So that means Trevor Bauer, where he spent, I think he had one or two appearances out of the bullpen last year, he'll be starting there this season, which gives Cody Anderson the chance, because he's been really good this spring. And I'm going to give him a chance to build off last year instead of just either, I don't think him coming out of the bullpen would make any sense, or starting in AAA. So what do you think of that? Kind of shocking news, I would say.
We've spent this entire spring, sort of under the impression that there was one spot available, and Cody Anderson and Josh Tomlin were basically competing with each other for it, right. Along with TJ House. And we've both said all along, Josh Tomlin's going to be on the roster because they're not going to let him go. And we were right about that. I did not foresee that Trevor Bauer's spot was at risk. None of the reports from the beat writers, you know, said anything like that. So I was caught completely off guard by it, especially because, you know, Bauer has looked pretty good in the spring. And again, I already copped to not having watched much. I think I've seen Trevor Bauer pitch two innings, but just looking at the stat lines, which I know are not the, you know, the be all end all, but he's only walked four guys in I think 20 innings, which is a huge improvement. A lot of strikeouts. It's just weird that it didn't feel like his spot was at risk, and he's pitched well enough that it's hard to see him losing it. I don't know. I can't say that I mean, I'm not against it necessarily. Anderson has looked really good too, and so has Tomlin. It's just a big surprise, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how Bauer reacts to it.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw, but it didn't. Nobody came out and said that Bauer outright reacted poorly to it, but there was kind of a read between the lines sort of answer every time Tito talked about it. They kind of said that we respect the fact that if he did receive it negatively, we assume that he'll come back and just be part of the team, but it doesn't sound like he took the news very well. I'm assuming it kind of came out of nowhere for him too, if nobody else knew.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some speculation that this was like an option, that he knew this was a possibility for a while, and maybe he did. And I don't blame him at all for not handling it well. I mean, not that he should be – he didn't throw a fit about it. We don't have any reason to think he did that. And if he's just unhappy about it, I don't blame him. You know, I'm sure Tomlin or Anderson would have been unhappy to not be in the rotation too. But, yeah, he just turned 25. I think a lot of fans sort of lose sense of the fact that he's still really young. And Chris Antonetti said – you know, we're going to see him start at some point this year. And I'm sure that's true, because no team gets through the season with only five starters. It's just a weird, like, I don't know, the whole situation just feels strange to me. Like them saying, oh, he's definitely going to start later this season, just not right now. Like, I don't know. It all feels bizarre to me. And I'm excited that the Indians have so many starting pitchers pitching so well that Trevor Bauer can be squeezed out of the rotation. I mean, that's not a bad problem to have. It's just bizarre to me.
Yeah, oh, it is. Yeah, between him and Josh Tomlin, how they're going to use him apparently as a starter and the bullpen in the first couple months. I don't know if they're still going to do that now that he officially has the job, but that was apparently the plan. So I don't know. Pitchers are going to be going in and out of starters, it looks like, this year. I
wonder if some kind of new. The reasoning was Cody Anderson has done too well to get sent back to the minors. Mm-hmm. Which, I don't know, like, he did, I mean, his ERA was really good last year. His strikeout rate last year was terrible.
But he's got that new fastball now, supposedly.
Yeah, no, I mean, exactly. Like, I have no problem talking myself into Cody Anderson as, like, a potentially quality part of the rotation. It's just weird that, like, there's somehow a sense that he's done so much that we couldn't possibly send him down. So that was part of it. And then there's only one spot left now, and Francona said, you know, that Josh Tomlin seems better suited. The fifth starter might only pitch like three games in April, and Tomlin's better, going to be better at, you know, long layoffs in between or mixing the starts with bullpen. I don't know. It just felt like a weird. None of what they said seemed completely wrong, but none of it seemed like, well, yeah, of course, either. I think I'm just so, I was so caught off guard by it that I still don't have like a great handle on it. I don't think the team's giving up on him. I certainly hope the team's not giving up on him. Bauer has frustrated me a lot, but I mean, I wrote about him today, and one of the things I wrote is like his overall line makes him look like a fifth starter. He's got a terrible walk rate, a mediocre ERA, but when you break it down game by game, he almost never looks like a fifth starter. He has a lot of starts where he looks like a one or a two.
It's just when he's really bad.
Maybe not a one, but a solid two. And then he has starts where he looks like he should be in double A or something like that. And it's just it's a weird inconsistency. I can't think of a lot of other pitchers who their good and bad are so far apart and they hit them both so frequently.
Yeah, and we'll go to this later. We have a Twitter question, but I think maybe the thinking could be some trip to the bullpen is going to kind of give him the Carlos Carrasco effect. Will it come out and have his walk weight settled? I don't know. Maybe they're just trying something new because nothing has worked over the last few years. He's changed everything on his end, but the result is just still the same every time. So, I don't know.
You're right. His overall numbers the last 2 years look really, really, really similar.
And I mean, apparently he's changed like his approach and everything. By what he says, it seems like he has, but just nothing has changed the outcome.
Yeah, he often seems really frustrated to me when you read or hear things he's saying. Sometimes, to me, sort of an immature frustration, which, again, he's 25, and I know every 25-year-old wants to feel like they're completely grown up, but as someone who's well past 25, you're not all the way grown up when you're 25. But yeah, I mean, I think he works really hard at it. He's a tinkerer. I think he does, you know, he tries a lot of different things. And I think sometimes he's frustrated that he knows the results aren't what they need to be, or what he wants them to be, but he can't figure out why.
So with that, with Tomlin and Anderson getting the fourth and fifth spot, that means the 25-man roster is pretty much completely set. Over the week, the Indians added, or some kind of mixer added, or what is the word I'm looking for? They informed a bunch of players that they made the team, which means now that the 40-man roster is going to have some moves made, because Marlon Byrd, your favorite Joba Chamberlain, and Ross Dertweiler were all minor league invites that were brought on, and they are going to make the opening day roster, but that means that at least three players in the 40-man roster are now going to be bumped off. And probably on the bubble there is going to be some kind of combination of Jesus Aguilar, Eric Gonzalez, Joey Butler, Zach Walters, just a bunch of fringe players that haven't done a whole lot. They're probably going to get moved to let Marlon Byrd, Chamberlain, and Dertweiler all stick around. Who do you think is going to be kind of on the short end of that stick there?
I think, you know, guys you mentioned like Butler, some of the position players who just haven't had much. Guys like that, there's just a number of guys that I can't fathom being real contributors on the roster, and I don't think will be a big loss to the 40-man roster. I don't know that I could single out like all of, you know, these are the exact names I think they'll be. I don't think it's a big squeeze though for the team. I don't think Indians are going to have to lose anyone that we're going to be, you know, a year later regretting having lost or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm assuming when they sign those
guys. I'm not at all surprised, but I'm still mildly annoyed that they're carrying a bazillion pitchers again. They've got a lot of days off in April. Trevor Bauer is not even in the rotation, and they're still, you know, the eight-man bullpen and only three bench players. I've long since given up on the idea that Francona is not going to prefer that, but I sure wish he didn't prefer that.
I don't think that's going away while he's here at all. I wish it would. I would have liked to see somebody else stick around, or that somebody that's going to get cut stick around on the 25-man roster, but
right.
I don't know. Especially early on, like you said. And two of the bad reasons that they're going to have room on the roster is that Lonnie Chisenhall and Michael Brantley are both going to start the season on the disabled lists. And I think maybe it was after our last podcast. I think we were all optimistic about Brantley coming back. Or was that the one before it? One or the other. But all of a sudden, he's not going to be there. It's guaranteed.
He gotten more and more optimistic about his return date.
Yeah, and then now it's not so optimistic. Well, I guess it's back to reality now, more so. And Chisenhall is going to be, his trip to the DL is going to be retroactive, so he can join the team on April 12th before the Indians travel to Tampa Bay. But I didn't see anything exactly about how long Brantley is going to be on it, or if his is retroactive or anything. So I don't know. But either way, if they're going to have some open roster spots, the outfield's going to look horrible.
I feel like he stopped playing in major league games before Chisenhall did. I think he would technically be eligible to return by like the second series of the season. I don't think he's going to be back that long, but I still don't. I mean, after at one point feeling like, oh, as long as he doesn't miss more than 25, 30 games, I'd be okay with that. I'm now down to expecting him not to miss more than like 10 or so.
Yeah, I would think he would. Which
I'd still be fine with. I don't think, you know, I mean, I think he's the best position player on the team. But I don't think missing him for the first, say, three series of the season is a huge problem. The outfield is going to look pretty awkward for the first week. With both of them out, but
I bet Jose Ramirez is going to get a few starts out there at least.
Yeah.
It's going to look weird.
Well, just imagine if Naquin hadn't played so well in spring training. At least we've got him to be really excited about because he's been so good. I mean, if he had been crummy for the last month, the outfield for that first week and a half would look even weirder.
I guess more Joey Butler would have been there.
Yeah, someone who I'm saying could is not a big loss from the 40-man roster.
Yeah, it would have been a starter.
An opening day.
Yeah. So, speaking of opening day, we're going to do our full predictions today. Last week, we just did some sort of weird questions, which, by the way, we're pretty wrong on a few of them. I'm already wrong about Michael Brantley being back for opening day, and you're probably already wrong about Joba Chamberlain not pitching a single inning. But I think so far, other than that, I think we're good. Just those two little minor ones.
He could still, everyone could still realize he's Joba Chamberlain before he actually gets into a game. I won't give up hope completely just yet.
You're going to be that at every game. When he starts calling to the pen, you're going to be screaming out, running onto the field, trying to stop him from doing it, aren't you? So, to start, what order do you have the AL Central?
I'm going to pick the Royals to win it, which I know it's such an interest. Like, if you look at the projections all hate the Royals. Projections also hated the Royals last year and the year before that. And I mostly buy into the projections. So, like, most of me wants to say, no, the Royals aren't this good. They're going to fall off. I don't think they're going to be terrible, but they're but the other part of me has – the less logical part of me is winning out here. And I feel like the Royals are doing something that the projections can't pick up on, or – I'm just too terrified of not expecting them to win and then having to watch them win again. I want to be mentally prepared for the Royals to win again this year, so I'm just going to let myself expect them to win again. So I'm going to go the Royals in first. Mm-hmm. I will go the Indians in second, just ahead of the Tigers in third, and then the White Sox in fourth, right at or a game or two off 500. And then the Twins in last. The Twins have a lot of interesting position players. If their top young guys, kind of break out, they could have a really good offense. But I look at their pitching and just can't fathom them contending. So the Twins in last is the easiest part of the Central for me. Mm-hmm. How about you? Yeah, what are you going with for the Central?
Well, I just did sort of the homer pick, but I don't think it's a complete homer to say the Indians might win the division. Like I said, I think they're going to have high 80s, low 90s wins, and I think they'll just barely squeak over the Royals, who I'm going to have it too. Which, just like you said, I want to go with the projections, but there's something there that's working, and it's been working. I hope they're right this year. That'd be awesome if the Royals were what they have, like barely at 500. But I think they'll be right behind the Indians if the Indians win the division. And then third is going to be the Tigers. I think they're going to be a little bit further behind. It's going to be more of like a 1A, 1B with the Royals, and then a little bit further down, Tigers, and then right behind them, or a ways behind them, I don't even know if they get the 500 at the White Sox. To a lesser extent, I think they're going to be this year's Padres, and that they had a big flashy offseason, and it's going to be for nothing. I don't know if they're going to sell off like the Padres did midseason, but I think there's going to be a whole bunch of disappointment in Chicago. And then, like you said, the Twins, there's just too much.
Andre LaRoche, it's going to be, well, not it's Andre all his LaRoche. Fault. They're going to blame on Kenny Williams for getting rid of Drake LaRoche. That's
because they didn't have the 14-year-old
if the White Sox don't finish above 500.
How much do you want to bet that's going to happen towards the end of the year? Maybe not the players, but everyone in the stands is going to be joking about it, and I'm sure we'll see some kind of sign, like bring back.
Yeah, and some of them won't be joking about it. There's going to be people who legitimately believe if the White Sox don't do well, that the reason is that a 14-year-old kid is not there. Not even that his dad's not there. No one's going to think that missing Adam LaRoche is the problem.
They're well, let's think be honest, Adam LaRoche's son. Your last year than Adam LaRoche.
Maybe Adam LaRoche stays retired, but mid-season they bring Drake back to the clubhouse.
Adam Eaton just adopts him mid-season just so he can come back and be a leader. So what do you have for the rest of... We'll just do all of them, all the AL and NL divisions. Who do you have as the winners?
Out west, man, the AL is going to be really interesting this season. I think there's no one in the entire league feels like a great team to me, but there's only like three teams I can't really picture contending. Out west, I'll say the Astros win the division. I think a lot of people think they won the division last year, but the Rangers actually beat them out at the end. So I'll say this year. The Astros pull that out. And I'll say that in the East, oh man, a lot of potentially good teams. I'll go with the Blue Jays. I'm tempted to pick the Yankees because I hate them, and so by the same logic of picking the Royals and preparing myself for the worst, but I'll go with the Blue Jays. If their offense stays healthy, they've got, I think, by far the best offense, the best group of position players, because they've got some good defenders there too, in baseball. And their pitching's not fantastic, but I think a lot like last year, they can score enough runs that the pitching doesn't have to be fantastic. So I'll go Astros, Royals, and Blue Jays as my division winners. You?
So for me, completely different. Oh, wait, Astros. Well, okay, never mind. Yeah, you get three. So mine, for the West, I'm going to have the Mariners. I'm going to say that whole thing they did is finally going to start clicking at some point. Robinson Cano is going to be Robinson Cano again, and that pitching staff is finally going to be amazing for a whole season, maybe. And I think that one's going to be close between them. I'm going to have the Rangers. We're going to get to the wild cards, but I have the Rangers in the wild card. I think the Astros are going to slip off a little bit. Maybe it's karma for Carlos Correa stealing the AL Rookie of the Year award. I don't know, maybe. Just in my own little imagination. And then the AL East, that could be literally anybody. So I basically flipped a four-sided coin and came up with Red Sox. Like I said in a post I did today, I think that Corey Kluber against David Price could be a playoff preview, and I think we're going to see maybe the Indians, somebody playing the Red Sox in the playoffs. I don't know how far they'll actually get, but I see them at least winning the division, close over the Yankees, Blue Jays, and basically everybody but the Orioles in that division, I think, is going to be really competitive. I guess maybe the Orioles could, but I don't think they will be. But the Blue Jays, Yankees, Red Sox.
So you mentioned the White Sox as this year's Padres. I think the Orioles are this year's Padres. Davis isn't new. He's an extension. But they gave Chris Davis a huge extension, and they brought in a bunch of guys.
Yeah, I guess so. I never really just think about the Orioles. Like, I guess they did have a pretty big offseason, didn't they?
Yeah, and they've got like $155 million payroll. And I know that's not as big as it was, you know, a decade ago, but it's still like 8th or 9th biggest payroll in baseball, and I feel like they're definitely going to finish in last place.
Oh, yeah.
They're another team, I mean, sort of like the Twins, like their lineup could be really good. I think the Davis contract eventually works out poorly, but should work out well this year. Manny Machado would be a superstar if there weren't Mike Trout and Bryce Harper, you know, if there weren't other super young guys who have been even better. I think Machado's been probably like the most overlooked player that good, that young, at least since I've been paying attention to baseball. The Orioles, Ubaldo Jimenez could be their opening day starter. Like, that's not a starting rotation that can win a division. There's just no way.
Maybe 5 years ago, that would have been a good opening day starter.
I mean, then, like, as an Indians fan, I have fond memories of how well he pitched in the second half in 2013. But that's like his only good half season in the last, you know, 4 years now. And he might be the best that they've got. That's, I don't know how you can spend $155 million on your team and not have a better starting pitcher than Ubaldo Jimenez.
And they're going to have Mark Trumbo in right or left field, which, I mean, the whole defense is going to be atrocious.
Yeah, and Pedro Alvarez, like, they've got a lot of guys who can hit and not do much else. They're going to hit a lot of home runs. But unlike the Blue Jays, I don't feel like it's actually a great offense. It's going to be a lot of power, but a lot of power with terrible on-base percentage. So it's going to be a lot of solo home runs.
I think as a third party, they'll be fun to watch. Maybe not as an Orioles fan, but as someone with no dog in the race for most of their games, I'll probably like watching them.
Do you, so, which I was going to mention this a second ago, do you, you know, obviously the Indians are your favorite team, and presumably, like any good baseball fan, you hate the Yankees. On that, like, outside the AL Central, in the AL West or the AL East, like, is there a team you would like to see that win the division? Not that you're a fan of the team, but just, like, if you could choose who would win it, who you'd choose?
I think probably the Mariners. That's probably part of the reason I chose them.
See, me too, and I didn't pick them, but pick the Mariners, I almost interrupted you, say, that's who I'd like to see win the West.
Yeah, I think they will.
Maybe just because they haven't really done that much, and it's easier to sort of pull for a team you don't care about if they haven't been all that successful. But yeah, the Mariners would be my pick too. Yeah, and the Blue Jays in the East, mostly just because I dislike most of the other teams for one reason or another.
just kind of by default, you want him to win. I like the Red Sox, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I used to as like, you were the Yankees' big rival and, you know, so the enemy of my enemy, that sort of thing. Then they won the World Series and I stopped liking them. And then they won the World Series again and beat the Indians along the way and I started disliking them. And then they won the World Series again and I got completely sick of them. So I don't hate them the way I hate the Yankees, but I definitely don't need to see them in the postseason either.
True.
So you mentioned the Rangers are one of your wild cards. Who's your other AL wild card team?
Yankees. Those are my two. Yankees and Rangers. If I had to pick one to have more wins, I guess I'd say I think the Yankees would finish more wins than the Rangers. But it's going to be close. And then somewhere behind the Yankees will be the Blue Jays. But I think it'll be those two. What about you?
I'll go Yankees and Red Sox one way or another. And I know it's difficult for one division to get both wildcard teams, but the NL Central did it last year. So it certainly can be done. And man, whatever station is broadcasting the AL wildcard game is going to be excited if they get Yankees, Red Sox.
Can you imagine the obnoxious hype for just the second we know that matchup's coming? It'll be nothing but the best rivalry in sports. Two teams that haven't really cared for a decade almost.
All right, well, let's jump over to the NL. Who do you have winning the divisions in the NL?
So for me in the NL West, I have the Dodgers. I think it's kind of the boring, obvious choice. I guess you could almost say the Giants, but I think the Dodgers are going to kind of steamroll that division. NL East, maybe my upset pick is the Nationals over the Mets. And is anybody else even competitive in that division? I don't think. But Nationals. And then NL Central, I have the Cardinals, actually, over even the Cubs and the Pirates. That's my big – I don't know what it is. Every year it seems like the Cardinals, I never pick them for anything, and they're always just the good, boring team that always happens to be there. So I figure I'll pick them this year. Maybe if they win, I can look right for once. And then my wild cards, I have the Cubs and the Mets.
All right.
Which I don't think is that big of a surprise for either one of those. I would guess that most people have them probably winning the Central and the East. But those are my wild cards. What about you?
I think that most people have the Cubs and the Mets. And I am picking the Cubs to win the Central. I thought I was going to be the one being hip and not picking the Mets by picking the Nationals instead. But instead we both did that, which either means we're both hip or neither of us is hip. With the Nationals. But I think the Mets are definitely the betting and projection-based favorite.
Which makes sense.
I'll go the Nationals. The Cubs and the Dodgers. So, and then wild cards. I'll go the Mets for one, and my other one. I'll say the Giants sneak in. So I'll go with the Giants and Mets for the wild card there.
That'd be a pretty interesting matchup, I think. Although it's one game, so that sucks, but. I wouldn't mind that playoff landscape for the NL. The NL just is not that exciting, I don't think, compared to the AL where you could pick, like you said, almost any team. I think these are a little more obvious. We both pick small upsets with the Nationals, but then we put the Mets in the wild card anyway. I don't know how many combinations you can get here in the NL.
Yeah, exactly. In the American League, I feel like there's like a dozen teams with viable postseason chances, and there are zero teams that I think should feel particularly confident. Whereas the National League, there's only eight teams I can fathom making the postseason. Other than the ones we already mentioned, the Pirates and Diamondbacks are the only other teams I can even picture making the postseason. And I'm not as high in the Diamondbacks as a lot of people seem to be. I'm not as impressed with their offseason as some people.
I think that's another nominee for the Padres Award this year. It's going to be the – although they only signed Greinke and traded for – Shelby Miller, but still, it's a pretty big offseason, I think, and it's going to do nothing for him.
I think they definitely upgraded. I just, like, when I look at their roster top to bottom, I don't see them beating the Dodgers or Giants. But, I mean, I'm wrong all the time about this sort of stuff, so we'll see. It'll probably be Padres and Twins in the World Series.
Yeah, probably. Of course. Oh, that'd be
World Series to finish off what we think is going to happen with the teams. So we mentioned our playoff teams. Who do you have winning the American League?
The American League, I have the Rangers. I actually didn't think far enough ahead to think they'd be playing, but I think they're going to sneak in through the wild card, kind of take the Royals route to the playoffs, and then they're going to get they're my little sneaky World Series pick. Who do you have?
All right. I will. I'm torn between two teams. I'll go with the Blue Jays. I'll say their offense. I think they were the best team in the American League last year, and I'll say this year they get back and actually win. Maybe even knocking off the Royals, who I wish they had beaten last year. And in the National League, everyone's picking the Cubs. I'll double down on the Nationals. I'll say the Nationals not only win the division in something of a surprise, I'll say they then push through the postseason and win the NL pennant.
Well, that's not bad. I had the Nationals for a little bit, but then I thought I was getting too crazy just picking a random team, but apparently it would have worked. Would have matched yours, but I have the Cardinals over the Rangers. I have a rematch of the, what year was that when they played? I don't know. Rematch of some year.
2011, I think?
A little while ago. But the Cardinals won't have David Freeze this time, so maybe the Rangers will pull it out. But I think it's going to be the Cardinals over the Rangers for me.
All right, so you've got Cardinals over the Rangers. I'll go Nationals over the Blue Jays. Tripling down on the Nationals.
Wow.
I don't even know if tripling down is a thing.
So both of us have, we both know that the AL is super competitive, but we both picked an NL team. I guess that makes sense.
Yep, because the postseason.
The top of the NL teams are better.
With merit, really. So just pick a team.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. Poor Mark Shapiro. I guess I don't want to say poor Mark Shapiro, but he's going to have to end up dismantling the team either way, I'm guessing, pretty soon here, even if they get to the World Series. And the hate will just be non-ending if they don't get re-signed Encarnacion and Jose Bautista. It's kind of the same situation he came to the Indians with. He's going to be taking over a winning team. And in your scenario, they get to the World Series, and then a couple of years after, he's going to be seen responsible as just tearing the team apart. So good luck over
Maybe.
There.
Maybe. I feel like the Blue Jays have more potential for being able to keep the team together than the Indians.
It hasn't sounded like it so far. Like, they're talking about letting a lot of people go.
Yeah. You're right. If it played out the same way, that would be sort of funny if he left the Indians for another job where he just had to do the same thing all over again.
Yeah. Okay, so who? So you have the Nationals, I have the Cardinals. Who do you have as your MVPs?
In the National League, since I'm picking the Nationals, I might as well expect that Bryce Harper repeats as MVP.
Yep.
I think, you know, he could be heading into a stretch where he wins 3 or 4 MVPs in, you know, a 7 or 8 year stretch. So I'll pick him again.
Is anybody even close?
In the American League. Trying to think back on my postseason team, since I feel like that's still kind of a draw for the MVP voters. How about your NL MVP? And that'll allow me to stall and think up my AL MVP.
Bryce Harper. Okay, who's your AL MVP? No, I don't know if there's anybody. Yeah, mine's Bryce Harper for the NL. I don't think there's anybody even close, really. Maybe.
Yeah, he could obviously fall back a lot, but at his
right,
age,
but he has to fall back.
Matches numbers from last year, but he could fall off by like 15% from what he did last year and probably still run away with the MVP, especially if the Nationals do actually win their division. In the AL, I feel like, I'm going to say.
You want me to do my AL first?
No, because then if you pick the same player, I feel like I'm copying you. I got the Blue Jays. I'll say that I'll go Josh Donaldson, who was their best player last year. I'll say he keeps it up, and I'll go with Josh Donaldson.
So two repeats then, right? I think he was AL MVP, right?
Oh, man, was he? Have I already forgotten who the AL MVP was last year?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he won over Mike Trout.
Yeah, he beat Mike Trout. All right, no, hold on. I'm going to back off then. I'm not picking two repeats. Let's see. Instead, then, how about... Why can I not think of good players in the American League?
I know, it's hard when you get on the spot.
I'm refusing to pick Mike Trout for no real good reason. but he's so good that it's hard to feel like who's going to match what he could do. How about Carlos Correa? I'll say Carlos Correa. I got the Astros winning the division. I'll say he takes another step forward. has a big year for a team that wins its division. I'll say Carlos Correa goes straight from Rookie of the Year to MVP.
Wow. I like that one. That's interesting. Mine's not interesting. I said Mike Trout. I think he was close enough last year. I think he's going to do it again this year and he'll win it. If there was somebody else, I didn't even think of this before, but I saw Grant Brisby's preview on SB Nation, and I think I like the Manny Machado pick that he had. I don't think that's a
fair pick at all. I mean, Machado, I feel like he does not get a ton of attention. And I think that's just because we're in like this incredible time for extraordinarily good, really young players. For me, I just think the Orioles are going to be a last place team, and it's tough to win MVP from the last place team. He's really good.
Yeah, I think the last place thing will come in the factor, but maybe he'll be like this year's what Felix Hernandez was however many years ago when they started finally picking just the best player when he was way better than I think it was CC Sabathia. It was between him. It was a while ago, like 2012. But I think maybe this will be the year that they choose a great offensive player and a bad team just because he has the better statistics, which would be great, I think. I don't know if it
can happen. Yeah, I mean, it could happen. I have no problem believing Machado would put up MVP numbers. No problem believing Mike Trout's going to put up MVP numbers again. I'll go with Carlos Correa. Exciting.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with the exciting
Lindor, but still somehow MVP.
So who do you have as your Cy Youngs?
You got to all right. These I actually thought about ahead of time, which I should have done with the MVP. NL Cy Young, I'm going to go with Gerrit Cole of the Pirates in something of a surprise. I feel like he's been really good the last couple of years. And I don't know, in recent years, I mean, even including Corey Kluber in this, I feel like a lot of, mostly in the American League, because Clayton Kershaw just keeps dominating in the NL. But I feel like a lot of Cy Young winners have just had like big, you know, breakouts. And Gerrit Cole was fantastic last season, but the Dodgers pair and then Jake Arrieta and the Cubs were so good that Cole sort of got overlooked. But I'll say this year, those other guys come back down a little bit. And he has another season like he had last year and kind of this year's big surprise award winner. So I'll say Gerrit Cole for the Pirates. And in the American League, my pick, which is not really what I want to see happen because I already talked about how I don't like them, but I think David Price, the big free agent signing for the Red Sox, I think he wins himself another Cy Young this year.
Yeah. I didn't notice before that last year was like before I wrote something today that David Price's best season was last season. That was a good year to be great to get that huge contract. That'd be pretty interesting to see him do that again at however old he is. He's got to be over 30 by now, but that'd be interesting to see him win a Cy Young now. So mine, I'm going to have in the NL, I have Jake Arrieta. I don't think the Cubs are going to be, they're going to be quote unquote a disappointment. Like I said, I have him as a wild card team, but I think Arrieta is going to put up Cy Young numbers enough to carry him through to get to that wild card spot. And then in the AL, I'll just go straight homer pick and say Corey Kluber. Right. I think he'll have another great season. If I have to pick somebody else, I guess. I didn't even think of David Price. Well, but I was going to have Chris Sale as my 1B, as the other one who can make it, if he can get over the loss of Drake.
Chris Sale was my 1B as well.
Was he? I don't think picking Corey Kluber is too out there and too homerish. I think he could win it.
No, I mean, he's won one before. And he, in a lot of ways, wasn't much worse last year. Look at his record. Right. He looks like he was a lot worse, but we both know better than that.
And he's going to have a full season of Francisco Lindor and should be a much better defense behind him.
No, that's true. And just law of averages, some of like the bad luck outside of fielding should be better for him this year, too. But yes, I'm picking Price, but Chris Sale, I feel like, I mean, he's not underrated. I think everyone who pays attention knows he's really good. But I think he's finished in the top five of the Cy Young voting like 4 years in a row now. last year was, you know, in some ways the worst season he's had if you look at like ERA and things like that. But then he led the league in FIP. I don't know how much you've watched Chris Sale. Living in Chicago, I end up, you know, seeing a kind of more White Sox than any non-Indians team, maybe. I don't know why. I have MLB TV. I don't know why I'm just, like, on cable lazily.
It's just easier.
But Chris Sale, like, I mean, he's so lanky. He looks like his body's going to fly apart on every pitch. I keep sort of expecting he's going to blow his arm out, but he doesn't. And he's been so good. And he's been arguably, I think probably, the American League's best pitcher over, like, the last, you know, 5 years or since whenever he came up. And I don't feel like he gets quite that level of attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he gets quite a bit of attention, but maybe not, like, what he should, yeah. I would not be surprised to see him win the Cy Young. So, anything else predictions you want to bring up before we go on to Twitter questions?
I'm not willing to wade into Manager of the Year, so I think MVP Cy Young should cover it.
And I mean, rookie is just a coin toss anyway.
Yeah, well, that's like a weird, like, who's even going to get called up and all that sort of stuff. So yeah.
Grant actually had Bradley.
I'm willing to punt on rookie and Executive of the Year.
Groundskeeper of the Year. Yeah. Although for
that
what
one,
it's
worth,
Greg Brisby had Bradley
Zimmer
as his AL Rookie of the Year, so that'd be interesting.
Yeah, that's I saw that too. That's bold.
I know.
A bunch of Facebook playing time for it, but
yeah. Okay, so we're a little crunched on time, so we're just going to do one bigger question then, and one which should be a very quick answer. So the first one comes from APV2600 on Twitter. He asked, what's more likely with Bauer, the McAllister route or the Carrasco route, or is he just his own creation? You want to take this one?
Sure. In APV2600, I'm 99% certain is LGT's own Adam, who's like a Mount Rushmore of the site figure. And as usual, he's come up with a good question. I assume by the McAllister route, he just means he moves into the bullpen and then he does well in the bullpen and then just stays in the bullpen. Whereas the Carrasco route is he moves into the bullpen, does well in the bullpen, and then moves back to the starting rotation. Of those two options, I feel like Trevor Bauer is going to be starting again. I'm not 100% convinced he's going to be starting again for the Indians. I could see him getting traded at some point this season. I feel like he's... the Indians, I think, are probably going to need another outfield bat at some point. And moving one of their starters, I think, becomes a lot more likely if Cody Anderson really has made adjustments and has become someone who can actually sustain the kind of success he had last year. So I think we'll see Bauer starting again. I think we'll see him start for the Indians again. But I think, his sort of eventual landing spot could be someone else's starting rotation.
Yeah, and I think comparing Bauer to the two players, he's got... Like, if you look at McAllister, he's moved to the bullpen because he only had, like, a fastball, and that was it. That was all that was effective. And the second, third time through the lineup, he would get pounded. But with Carrasco, it's kind of the same thing as Salazar. He has a few pitches. He just didn't control them right. He's, quote-unquote, a head case. So I think there's a chance he'll take the exact same route. He'll go in the bullpen, kind of focus down what pitches he uses and gets better at him, comes back probably not as good as Carrasco, I wouldn't think, but I would see that route as being more likely than McAllister. Although he is a bit of his own creation, like Adam said. He's his own little thing, Trevor Bauer. But yeah. So the last question, which should be very easy, I would think. Would you ever consider re-signing Nick Swisher since he's been released by the Braves? Because I don't know if you saw that, but our favorite bro is no longer has a team right now. Would you re-sign him to the Indians?
Did see that, and no, I would not ever consider re-signing Nick Swisher.
You would be surprised how many people want that to happen.
I wouldn't, if Nick Swisher offered to give back half of the money he was owed, I still wouldn't do it. And I don't want to, I mean, that sounds probably overly harsh. I don't have, like, sort of the bitter hatred for Swisher that a lot of Indians fans do. But I'm very content with the Swisher era being something of the past. And even with the Indians, weird looking outfield situation for the time being, Nick Swisher is in no way, shape, or form the solution to that. And I want nothing to do with a reunion.
Yeah, that's the big thing. He's not an outfielder anymore. He's a first base DH, and we have those. And no, just no. I wouldn't even bring him back as a color guy. I don't know if I would want to stand him for 162 games in the booth. I'm sure he's a great guy, but I mean, just that much energy for that many games, I don't know if I can take it.
Well, fortunately, I don't think he spent enough time with the team to to win over enough fans to get the announcing job.
We can only hope. Yeah, I'm sure he'll land somewhere soon. Somebody's going to need a DH, even if it's just a minor league deal, and bring him up. Okay.
Yeah, just not the Indians. I don't need Choba.
Choba and Nick Swisher on the
same. And Swisher on the roster. That's too much.
We're going to slowly recreate the 2009 Yankees for you.
The World Series, okay. When you put it that way. But
no, it's going to be them, but 6 years later. So maybe not quite the World Series win. So do you have anything else?
No. The next time we talk, though, we'll have actual games to discuss and overanalyze. And, oh, my God, he's on pace for 324 home runs and that sort of stuff, which is always fun. Now, I'm really excited to have actual baseball to watch. I wish I could completely clear my day on Monday. Unfortunately, I can't. But as soon as I can park myself in front of a TV for the rest of the day, I'm excited to be doing that.
For sure. Just don't forget your MLB subscription before then. That'd be kind of tragic.
I won't.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, we'll have baseball to watch, and I think that's pretty much it. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening.
Learning Mancunian with Andy Tate and Jose Mourinho.
Right, Jose, you're the only manager to have won the Premier League, Champions League, the FA Cup and Europa League.
You're not wrong, mate.
So in one word, how does it feel to be a winner?
That would be buzzing.
Correct.
Mint.
BT Sport will show 42 Premier League matches, all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games, plus up to 24 Emirates FA Cup matches. Four competitions, one venue. BT Sport.